Two of the great names in the history of our game will be in the spotlight today in this, the newest episode of Musings on Golf. I'm your host, Kelly Elbin, along with your executive producer, Jenna Self. And together, we've produced a fascinating show for you as we look at the remarkable pairing of Jack Burke Jr. and Jimmy DeMeritt through the words of Bill Pelham, author of the book, Burke and DeMeritt, The Wit and Wisdom of Golf's Most Colorful Duo. Bill Pelham worked for 5 years as an assistant professional at Champions Golf Club outside of Houston. That is the fabulous 36-hole facility that Mr. Burke and Mr. DeMeritt, both members of the World Golf Hall of Fame, founded in the late 1950s. Bill admits, he's very honest, says that he became the player he did because of those 5 years at Champions. Bill went on to play off and on for 6 years on the PGA Tour, still calls Houston home, and still has the utmost respect for Champions Golf Club and the members there. That is very much of a plain, high-level club of amateur golfers. It is a player's club, and it has been from the start. And when you go there, it may have a little social aspect to it, as any club does, but you're there to play golf. You're a good player, that's where you go, to Champions. And you're going to hear that respect in this interview that we conducted with Bill, the respect that he had for and continues to have for both Mr. Burke and Mr. DeMeritt, two very different individuals, personality-wise, but the accomplishments on the golf course. Jimmy DeMeritt, nicknamed for a long time as the Wardrobe because of his flashy and unique fashion style. Mr. DeMeritt was the first three-time winner of the Masters Tournament. 1940, 47, and 50. He won three green jackets in that time. Mr. Burke won both of his majors in 1956, the Masters and the PGA Championship. And we lost Mr. Burke in January of 2024. Jackie was just 10 days shy of his 101st birthday when he passed away. And what a legacy those two leave behind at a Champions Golf Club. After the interview, you'll hear from Chris Goderup, who continues to find ways to win on the PGA Tour, this time beating Hideki Matsuyama, who really faltered down the stretch. Hideki was looking for his third victory at the WM Phoenix Open, and he just kind of threw it away. And Goderup stayed in the hunt and got the win. We'll also talk a bit about Patrick Reed. Well, you talk about two guys who have had remarkable Januaries and early Februaries in Goderup and Reed. Patrick Reed, with his second win in 3 weeks on the DP World Tour, essentially locking up his PGA Tour card for 2027, now that he has decided to step away from LIV Golf and look to rejoin the PGA Tour. A couple of things on the Cypress Creek course at Champions Golf Club. There are two courses there, the Jackrabbit course is a very, very good golf course, but the Cypress Creek course is the championship golf course. I mentioned that particular course opened in 1959, as you'll hear in the interview with Bill Pelham. Within 8 years, the Ryder Cup was played there in 1967, and then Orville Sarge Moody won his only major championship, the 1969 U.S. Open that was played at Champions. They've also hosted the 1993 U.S. Amateur. And the 2020 U.S. Women's Open was played at Champions. A personal note on the 67 Ryder Cup. My late dad, Max Elbin, was the president of the PGA of America at the 1967 Ryder Cup at Champions. And I've seen some quick videos with my dad announcing the teams, and always brings back, you know, special memories to see that. But the guy who stood out from that week really was the non-playing captain on the U.S. side, Ben Hogan. So according to several sources, Mr. Hogan, behind the scenes, he told his team, quote, "Don't let my name be on that trophy as a losing captain." And very publicly at the opening ceremony, after British captain Di Rees had introduced each of the 10 players on his team, Mr. Hogan asked all 10 of his players to stand, and he said, quote, "Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce the finest golfers in the world." And that was it. And that group included Mr. Arnold Palmer, Billy Casper, the two real stars, Gene Littler, was also on that team. And they were the finest players in the world. And they showed in a 23.5 to 8.5 point thrashing of the British team. It's still the largest victory margin, that 15-point margin, still the largest in Ryder Cup history. You're going to hear a lot about that. You'll hear about how the club got its start with an opening that was very much almost a social event on the Houston calendar when Champions Golf Club opened, all coming right up in a terrific interview. You're going to enjoy this with Bill Pelham. Plenty to talk about on the back end, but for now, enjoy the interview. But first, enjoy these words from our wonderful friends and great corporate partners at William & Harry, the Friars Golf Club, and Titleist. Our friends at William & Harry are always looking for ways to stand out in the crowd. So for anyone who belongs to a country club, William & Harry can have your shoes private labeled to fit your specific needs. The same applies to your company or any organization you might be affiliated with. This makes you a clear winner. Why? Well, you have a better quality shoe that feels great, and you have the logo of your club, company, or organization on your shoes that really makes you stand out on the golf course. To learn more, visit williamandharry.com today and be sure to input our promotional code 15OFF, M-O-G, for a 15% discount at williamandharry.com.
Your most important shot is the one you're about to hit. And whether it's the first drive of the day, a difficult approach from a tight lie, or a bunker shot to save par, you need to know your golf ball will perform exactly the way you need it to. Superior performance on every type of shot. It's why the majority of the world's best players choose the Pro V1 or Pro V1X, and why you should too.
Is your golf life stuck in a bunker of country club hassles? Tired of the wait lists and the six-figure initiation fees? Well, at the Friars Golf Club, we take care of all of the hard work. Planning exclusive trips and unforgettable rounds on top-rated courses, so all you have to do is show up, have fun, and make lifelong friendships on the first tee, the 19th hole, and far beyond. Our terrific 2026 lineup includes international destinations like Dubai and Scandinavia, plus top domestic resorts such as Sand Valley and Black Desert, and access to some great private clubs. Join the Friars Golf Club today. Email us at info@thefriars.com, the word musings in the subject line, to receive a $500 trip credit when you join. We invite you to stop dreaming and start living the ultimate golf experience with the Friars Golf Club. Well, in his wonderful book, Burke and Demerit, The Wit and Wisdom of Golf's Most Colorful Duo, our special guest today has compiled a collection of stories that pay tribute to two of the game's most legendary golfers and visionaries. And could they ever, ever tell great stories? So pleased to be joined by a man who worked at that club and writes lovingly about these two monumental figures in our game. Bill Pelham, welcome to Musings on Golf. I absolutely love your book. Congratulations.
Thanks, Kelly. I appreciate you having me on your show. I've heard a lot about it from our friend, Sonny.
Bill, you know, before I get to the first question, our show is so tied in with great storytelling. And we've been lucky to have terrific guests over the years, Bill. And I noted right in your introduction to the book, second paragraph, I want to read this. Storytelling over the centuries is how generations have stayed connected and memories preserved. Each time one is told, especially that which is remembered by more than one, it continues forward and reminds us of just how good our lives have been. We often remember a time when life seemed simpler, and we would relish every breath, every moment. The storytelling that you provide here, they're very sweet in a lot of ways. They tell a powerful story. But gosh, I would imagine for you, the storytelling to be connected to Jackie Burke and to Jimmy Demerit at Champions Golf Club for someone with a vast golf background that you had, Bill, it really couldn't have been much better.
Well, it was a miracle that I ever worked there to begin with, and I counted my lucky stars for that. I had a chance meeting with Jimmy Burke, qualifying for the U.S. Open, and he invited me to come to the club, and I went out there, and I ended up playing golf with he and Jay Hebert, of all things, and they invited me to start working out there, and it was just a great place to be for my first job as a professional assistant pro out there.
Yeah, and you were there for 5 years. Tell our listeners, please, Bill, why were Jackie Burke and Jimmy Demerit golf's most colorful duo?
Well, I never seen a pair that could bounce things off each other with such humor and so much wisdom too. There was, I mean, Jackie knew so much about the game. He taught all kinds of golf pros, including Palmer even. And Demerit just had this unbelievable wit where he could just crack you up in a heartbeat. And Jackie too, but Jackie did it in a much more caustic way usually, but he might strip you 1 minute and the next minute you're rolling on the floor laughing, you know, just dying laughing. So they were just a incredible duo. I've never seen like, and then great businessmen. You know, they started Champions. Champions was a drive out into the country back in 1957. It took an hour and a half for a lot of people in Houston just to get out there. And they made a go of it and built this fabulous facility out there. And, you know, by 1959 or 60, they really had a successful enterprise there.
Yeah, and they opened Champions in April of 1959. Champions Golf Club, 36-hole facility, and the Cypress Creek course obviously is the more recognizable of the two, having hosted the Ryder Cup in 67, the U.S. Open in 69, the Women's Open in 2020, as well as a number of events that preceded the Houston Open. For our listeners, Bill, you worked intimately there, but the vast majority of the people who listen to this, while they've heard of Champions Golf Club, they don't know much about it. Please give a sense of what makes that club so special? And I know from day one, Bill, the emphasis was on playing the game well, having a very good lineup of members who are good players, and the competition part of it, correct?
Correct. You hit it on the nose right there. It was all about competition and learning about the game and spending time on the practice tee, taking lessons and learning from others. And it was a golfing paradise. If you love golf, especially if you're a man, I mean, the women had a fairly substantial influence there, but it was almost like a all male club. But all the male golfers there had low handicaps, quite a few scratch players.
Yeah,
one or two of them made it into the Hall of Fame, and I think Robert McKinney's got a good chance of making it next year. And he's been a member there for forever. Jackie really helped perpetuate that. Demare was there to kind of push it along too, but it was mainly Jackie's influence that made it such a great club as far as the competition goes.
And you mentioned early on in the book again that, and you know, Bill, you played on tour for a while. I believe you led the qualifying for the PGA Tour 1 year when it was held at the qualifying was held at Pinehurst. So you know the game well. You've played a lot of golf courses, and you note having played at Oak Hill and Marion and the Country Club and so forth. But he said, you wrote to me, Champions has surpassed them all. Is it because of the golf course, Bill, or is it because of the aura, the whole feel of the place?
It's the aura. I think the golf course is comparable to Oak Hill and Wingfoot and that. You know, of course, it's hosted, like you said, the U.S. Open, the Ryder Cup, et cetera. It's a great golf course, no doubt about it. And but it's the membership and what they've created there at Champions, the competition, the appreciation for the game of golf. You just don't see that at other clubs. It's, you know, the clubs are mostly social and, yeah, you know, it's just not the same flavor.
We touched a little bit on Mr. Burke and Mr. Demerit. And I would imagine some ways they were different. We're all different in our own ways, right?
Yes.
Can you give a sense of how that relationship, that personal and professional relationship for them developed and grew over the years to the point where indeed they built this golf course on land, big tract of land, about 550 acres that really there wasn't a whole lot there before. How did that evolve over time, Bill?
Well, DeMaire worked for Jack Burke Sr. at River Oaks Country Club when that opened in 1920. So DeMaire would have been 10 years old in 1920. Some probably a year or two after that, he went to work out there. In fact, I think I read or was told that he used to wade across Buffalo Bayou to get to the club. And I'm sure he caddied out there and did all sorts of things, but he became a good friend of the Burks. And that's how he met Jackie. And then they went out and played on the tour for a while together with some of their cohorts. And, you know, there's a famous story or story that's in the book about Jackie being left find his own devices to get to the next tournament while DeMaire played. And he said, well, I'm going to take you and I'll introduce you to Mr. Grahund. And so he drove down Jackie down to the Greyhound bus station. So here's Mr. Grahund. They had like a father-son relationship. They really did. It was very close.
Who was in that case, who was one the father versus one being the son, Jackie the father?
No, Jimmy was the father because he was older. And Jack Sr. probably, he died in 43. So I'm not sure that he was that involved with Junior's tour experiences. But yeah, they traveled a lot together and they were like father and son really in a lot of ways.
Bill Pelham joining us here on Musings on Golf. His book, Burke and DeMaire, is an absolute terrific read. You know, Bill, anytime a new club opens, that's a big deal for the members at that club or the people who, you know, are going to be regular players there. In the case, though, of Champions, it was a spectacle. I mean, in your book, you talk about roughly the general public being invited. Roughly 6,000 people showed up that day. And for good reason, Bill. You had Bing Crosby, you had Mickey Mantle, you had the actor Jimmy Garner, you had Mr. Hogan, you had Mike Suchak, Bob Rosberg, and you mentioned Jay Bear earlier. So very well-known players at that time. Obviously, the draw of all of them being friends or knowing of both Mr. Burke and Mr. DeMaire, it was a big deal for that club and really kind of launched that club in a way that I would imagine few others were capable of doing.
Yeah, and the celebrities continued to come out there for years. I played golf with Mickey Rooney several times and Vic Damone. And I remember seeing Jim Garner in the locker room. And it was quite a setting. And obviously, having celebrities like that out there in Houston in 1959 was not something that happened every day. So I can see why it would draw a big crowd.
Yeah, and I think because of that and because of their names, I mean, you know, it opened in 59, and then within 8 years, you had the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And then within 10 years, you had the U.S. Open. Sarge Moody, Orville Moody ended up winning that year. What a test of golf. I was just doing a little research. The 36-hole cut that year was 8 over par, and Sarge won it at 1 over par on the Cypress Creek course. So, but I would imagine that because of the notoriety and the influence of Mr. Burke and Mr. DeMaire, that helped get them on the national and get Champions Golf Club on the national spot pretty quickly.
Yeah. And Champions had huge greens out there. It wasn't a typical U.S. Open venue, and that the greens were so much bigger than, say, they would be a Wingfoot or, I don't know, even Shinnecock for that matter. You could hit a green there and four putt very easily. And that's why the scores were pretty high. But the Bermuda rough made it a formidable task to shoot a good score there.
Well, we're so pleased to be joined by Bill Pelham, author of the wonderful book, Burke and DeMaire, The Wit and Wisdom of Golf's Most Colorful Duo. Okay, Bill, a little bit of background on you. I know you played on the PGA Tour. I mentioned about the qualifying school at Pinehurst. How did you play on tour and any interesting stories, if you will, from your years on the PGA Tour?
Oh, I could talk for hours about that. But I played off and on for about 6 years. I lost my card 3 times, I think, and I just kept going back for more punishment. But I enjoyed my time there. You know, as a kid, I always wanted to play the tour. I don't think that I really dreamt of being a tournament winner, and that may have hurt me a little bit. But just getting out there was the accomplishment that I was looking for. And it kept me motivated to stay and keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. And, you know, it was a difficult game for me. I wasn't a star in high school. I didn't have a lot of help. I didn't have a lot of lessons growing up. All that I learned about golf really started at Champions when I started there in 1971. And they took me from probably being a fairly good 3 handicapper to being a capable player of making it on the tour. So I learned a lot while I was there in 5 years.
I bet you did. Also, you have a rather remarkable story about a car ride with someone you had never met before, and he went on to win the Masters a couple of times. Please tell that story. It's a good one.
Well, I decided I wanted to try to play in the Open in Scotland at St. Andrews in 1978. And Mark Lyde told me it was the biggest mistake I ever made in my life because I was right on the fence of saving my car or moving on and losing it. And but I went anyway because the lure of the game, and especially in Scotland, was really something for me to try to experience at least one time. Sure. So I flew into Edinburgh, and I'm in the airport at the baggage claim, and this young man walks up to me and asked me if I was playing in the Open. Obviously looked like a golfer, and I said, yeah. He said, well, could I have a ride with you? And said, yeah, that'd be fine. I'll be happy to give you one. So let's go out to the car. And got there, and I'm driving a stick shift, and it's in the wrong hand, and I'm not real good at – I haven't had a lot of experience driving a manual transmission. So I asked him if he would shift the gears while I operated the clutch and drove the car.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And we managed to two-team it all the way up to Lady Bank, and the kid's name was Bernhard Langer. And we're coming out of the clubhouse, and he saved our lives really, because we're coming out of the clubhouse, and I made the almost fatal mistake of looking left before I turned right, and I would have turned right into an oncoming car if he hadn't yelled stop at the top of his lungs.
Yeah.
And the next day we went out and played, and I just was astonished at how well he hit the ball. I mean, he's not 20 years old, but he didn't putt very well. He had a real bulky putter. I think he was putting cross-handed at the time. And I said, you know, what are your plans? Are you going to go play in the States? He said, well, not until I learn how to win over here, and which didn't take him too long. It took him a year or two.
Yeah.
I went out and talked to Bernhard about a year and a half, 2 years ago when he was here in Houston. He didn't remember that at all, which disappointed me.
Yeah, I'm sure, right?
But he did save our lives, I'll tell you that.
Well, I've told this to many people, Bill. I was fortunate in my time at the PGA of America to moderate press conferences during the PGA Championship and the Ryder Cup and the Senior PGA Championship. And there's no finer individual, in my opinion, mm-hmm. with who I sat next to than Bernhard Langer. I mean, yeah. He's just, obviously, what he did winning the Masters twice and the incredible record on the Champions Tour, but just the individual who he is, Bill. I can't even begin to think of anybody close.
Yeah, you're right. He's quite a gentleman and an outstanding golfer, no doubt about it. To overcome all that, putting woes he's had.
I know, exactly right. Hey, back to the book. There's so many great anecdotes in this book about Mr. Burke in particular. He was never shy to have an opinion. Early on in your time there, Bill, 5 years again that you spent at Champions Golf Club, he made sure to tell you not to get too comfortable, right?
Yeah. You did. He was something else. He was a sergeant. I guess he was a sergeant of the Marines. Mm-hmm. And he let you know it. He was always on you. If he felt like you were slacking in any way, he was on you. You know, just you gotta get out there and get with it.
Well, I would imagine also, like you note in here, that Mr. Demerit was somewhat in the background, not as involved, But for Mr. Burke and the legacy of him, his family, if this is your golf course, you're in charge here, man, right? You got to have somebody running it. And that's the role he took on. He also had a lot of sermons on the mount that you point out in here. Can you give me a couple sermons on the mount that you heard over the years from Mr. Jack Burke?
Oh, yeah. I'm just putting out a couple here to look at. And I like the one where he said, when you're going to hire an assistant, walk him out to his car so you look inside. And if it's a mess inside his car, you don't want to hire him because he's going to be somebody you're going to have to clean up after the rest of his time. But he just had so many great sayings. You know, they give trophies away on the green, not the fairway. You know, the putter was one of the all-time greatest putters. I'd probably say in the top five of all time.
Wow.
And people came to him all the time for putting advice. Even Mickelson. Mickelson went to him quite often. And his big deal was he challenged me on this, and I never could do it. He said he did it every day. Make 100 in a row from 3 feet.
Jeez.
Put the ball in a circle around the hole from 3 feet and knock in 100 in a row. And if you get to 99 and miss, you start all over again. They said he did that all the time. And that's Jackie too, as a businessman. Jackie was at work every single day, except maybe Sunday. He showed up every day and he expected us to do the same.
I mentioned Mr. Demerit. You've got a funny story in here about Jimmy the Aviator. You know, everybody thinks of Mr. Palmer and Arnold flying from event to event.
Yeah.
He wasn't the only one, Mr. Demerit. And there's a really good story in here about he and Phil Harris.
Yeah, they were in Palm Springs and having a good time, as you can imagine, especially at the bar. And they decided they wanted to go to Las Vegas. And so Demerit convinced another fellow that was there that could fly to fly them to Vegas so he wouldn't have to worry about it. So they go to Vegas for a couple of days and they probably got solid drunk and they come back to McCarran Airport to get the plane and it's not there. And Demerit said, "Where's my plane?" He'd totally forgotten that another guy had flown them there. So they had to catch a commercial flight back to Palm Springs. Oh, that's the typical Demerit.
And those two guys, did they play a lot of golf against one another at Champions?
No. No. I seldom saw Demerit play, period, at Champions. I mean, he'd go out and play a few holes sometimes with a friend or by himself, but I never saw him compete against each other, except in the locker room move bar. But that was a different deal altogether. And that was a goofy golf kind of thing. It wasn't regular golf.
Yeah, and I know then that Mr. Demerit built Onion Creek, and that kind of became his home before long. Onion Creek was that where they played what became the Champions Tour?
No, the Legends of Golf started.
Legend of Golf, yeah, for a long time, right, Bill?
Right there. It was probably 6, 7, 8 years, probably.
Yeah.
But the very first ones were right there at Onion Creek. And Demerit used to fly his plane and landed on the fairways there. You know, so that was the Aviator part of Demerit. Demerit loved to fly. He'd fly all over the place.
Wrapping up a conversation with Bill Pelham, author of Burke and Demerit. Hey, Bill, look, anytime we leave a job, it's a final day of a job. It can be viewed one way or the other. It could be like, I'm ready to get out of here. Okay, that's good. I've done my time. But I thought it was quite poignant in reading this book that your final day there was... Yes, you were looking ahead to the next opportunity, but it was really a sad day for you. And you write about that very openly, Bill. Could you talk about that, please?
Yeah, I think it was the last day of the Champions Cup, and which is a pretty big event for Champions. It's an amateur event and get the top players from all over the country to come in there and play as a team competition. And it was the only one that I ever attended or worked at because they had discontinued it for a number of years. So it was a big deal for that. And just remember looking forward to leaving to go play golf on the tour, having acquired all the sponsorship money I needed to do that. And I went to the club, to the locker room, to the car and the parking lot. And I just remember sitting in the parking lot and thinking, wow, it's over. You know, it's almost like losing a girlfriend or, you know, going off to overseas, you've joined the army or whatever, and you're leaving your family behind. And it was a very poignant, sad moment for me. I broke down in tears. It just was more than I could handle and drove away. And I'm lucky in that I can still go back there and feel like I'm a part of the club. And Mike Burke is now the owner and of the club, and he makes me feel very welcome. And it's just a joy to be around people like that.
Right. And Bill, it shaped your life, right? It really shaped who you became, right?
Yep. Yep. If it weren't for Champions, I never would have made the tour. There was no way. I never would have made it out there. But that was my dream as a kid. And to have that come to fruition, that just meant the world to me. And Jimmy Burke was a big part of that too, as well as Jay Hebert. Jay Hebert was a great mentor for me. So all those four guys right there really shaped my career.
We always ask at the end of Musings on Golf, Bill Pelham, you know, who would kind of round out a dream foursome for you? And I got to tell you what, Bill, the answers through the years have been really fascinating. A lot of times you'll hear Arnold and Jack or Tiger, and we'd go play at Augusta National. And then I've had some where people almost get a little emotional talking about playing with their dad and going and playing the course where they grew up type of thing. So for you, Bill Pelham, if you had an opportunity to play with three others in a kind of a magical fun round of golf, whether they're still with us or no longer with us, who would you play with and where would you go tee it up?
Well, Jimmy Burke would be one for sure.
Was that Jackie's brother?
That was his brother. He sadly died in a car crash. There was a drunk driver broadsided him in 1990, I think it was, and got hit on my birthday, May 13th, but he died in June. He was one of my best friends of all time and taught me so much. Just a great, great man. I would put in the group of my former best friend who also died about 10 years ago, Bob Schweitzer would be the third. And then I'll put my father in there for sure.
Yeah.
He'd be in there.
Where would you go play?
Champions.
Right? Yeah. Cypress Creek.
Bill Pelham, I'm so glad we could spend this time together. You know, as we look at the modern game and we started talking here about storytelling, we look at the modern game and there's so many great players and there's so much that's great about golf, but the storytelling of people like Jackie Burke and the storytelling involved with people like Jimmy Demerit, to me, Bill, and I would imagine you might feel the same, it was kind of a golden age of golf in many respects, to have those people, Arnold, Mr. Nelson, almost irreplaceable in a way.
I really began to dream about being a professional when I first saw Arnold Palmer in 58, I think it was 57 or 58. And I'll never forget that moment as long as I live. And that's how much influence Palmer had on everybody, but especially me. It was a great era. I'm not a real big fan of the tour these days. I think they're playing a little bit too much money, and it's kind of gotten a lot of whack. I think the old days they played for the honor and playing for the trophy. They're not playing for money. They're playing for the trophy, and that's what's different.
The book is Burke and Demerit, The Wit and Wisdom of Golf's Most Colorful Duo. Our guest has been Bill Pelham. Bill, where can people purchase your terrific book?
Right now, the best place is Amazon. We're working on some other things right now. We might get it out there in circulation in some other areas, but Amazon for sure.
Bill Pelham, thank you. All the best in 2026 and beyond. And something tells me you'll be back out at Champions Golf Club teeing it up before too long.
I hope you're right, Kellyanne. Thank you for having me on the show.
America, this is your moment. Liam and Harry's limited edition spirit shoe is here so every fan can feel like part Team USA from the first tee to the final putt. Two head-turning designs, premium deerskin, 100% waterproof with spikeless grip and all-day comfort. Limited run, don't sit this one out. Pre-buy now at williamandharry.com. Get into spirit. Get into comfort.
Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X are the best performing, most consistent in the game. So how does the best get better? You start by listening to the best players in the world. You experiment, iterate, validate. You trust the best process to create the best golf ball the game has ever known. The all-new Pro V1 and Pro V1X. More speed off the tee. More control with your irons. More spin with the wedges. And more opportunity to shoot your lowest scores.
Golf is more than your scorecard. The brand of clubs you play or the clothes you wear. Golf is a journey where every round is a memory, filled with friends old and new. The Friars Golf Club is where those lifelong friendships are made, on the first tee, in the 19th hole, and far beyond. Exclusive trips, unforgettable rounds, and the very best people. Indeed, great courses are simply better with great company. So join the Friars today. To learn more, email us at info@thefriars.com and put the word musings in the subject line to receive a $500 trip credit when you join. So we invite you to stop dreaming and start living the ultimate golf experience at the Friars Golf Club. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Bill Pelham. Gave you some insight into a very special club at Champions Golf Club outside of Houston. And the history there, not just of the two men who started it with Jackie Burke and Jimmy Demerit, but the terrific run of events that have been played there and the quality of the Cypress Creek course that has hosted so many big events. Talk about a couple of guys who, in the modern game, who are absolutely on fire. We'll start with Patrick Reed. What a fascinating month it has been for Reed, really kind of an outcast, if you will. There have been some issues with, was he cheating in one of the close up shots from a few years ago with his bunker shot that clearly looked like he was, moving the sand a bit. Not exactly the most popular guy on tour, left to go to live. And it was kind of like a good riddance to you and your whole team. Well, now he is coming back and he's pretty much all but secured his PGA Tour card for 2027 because of three incredible weeks in the Middle East. Two of those victories with the most recent coming at the Qatar Masters on Sunday. And his only time he didn't win in those 3 weeks, he lost in a playoff. So it could have gone 3-for-3. He is the leading point getter in the race to Dubai. You're going to look to see Patrick Reed playing a lot more for obvious reasons through the DP World Tour throughout the spring and summer. Now you start to look at him as a majors favorite with the Masters, which he's won by green jacket. So keep him in mind for sure. And then there's the Chris Goddard story. As you'll hear from this clip from Goddard after he beat Hideki Matsuyama at the WM Phoenix Open, he was, he just wanted to stay in the hunt, right? He was, five shots back going to the final round, and he just never wavered, and particularly down the stretch, he put the heat on, including the playoff.
I went in with the chance for sure to start the day. Today, I really wasn't expecting to be, I would have had to go shoot a really good round, which I did, but even during the back nine, I was like, all right, just keep calming the board, try to get into a good spot, and I knew to need the birdie 18, and I had some would say maybe a little luck involved in that shot, but to come out on top and then do it in the way I did in the playoff, it was awesome.
He birdied six of the last seven holes, and Matsuyama had a chance, made a bad bogey on 18, and then was not a factor at all in the playoffs. And Goddard gets his fourth win on the PGA Tour, his third in just a few months. And how much fun it must be for Patrick Reed and Chris Goddard right now to be playing professional golf. So congratulations to Goddard for that victory. Congratulations to Patrick Reed, who has obviously come back into form, and Live Golf will live on without him, but I know that he's excited to get back on the PGA Tour. I look forward to next week. Our guest will be John Smoltz, the National Baseball Hall of Fame member and very avid and very good golfer. John is the commissioner of a brand new golf tour. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about his passion
for the American Century Celebrity Golf Championship that'll be played this summer out in Lake Tahoe, an event that he's come so close to winning and so very much wants to prevail in it, and was runner-up last year. Don't be surprised if John Smoltz is holding that trophy later on this year. Again, we thank Bill Pelham. A lot of fun being with you. Thank you all for joining Musings on Golf. We'll talk to you next week. For my good buddy, Janice Self, Kelly Elbin signing off another episode of Musings on Golf.